It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is the University Chancellor, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, God's Work Still Requires Male Leadership. The text is from Exodus chapter 18, verses 14 through 26.
Please open your Bibles this morning to Exodus 18. While you're turning, let me say that it's fun coming back to the campus after being away. I was away over the weekend out of the country for 3 or 4 days in ministry. And coming back and trying to put your finger on the pulse of the student body. It's been a habit of mine throughout my whole life, and I still enjoy doing that. I listen to your singing. I watch your interaction with each other. I listen this morning to your very animated conversation before chapel began. And a lot of things kind of are tip-offs of how you're doing, of what your mood is, what your spirit is. And I sense that many of you are really walking with God and that you are loving Him and loving one another and just enjoying the opportunity that God has given to you in spite of the rigors of the academic demands on you. You are enjoying the opportunity here and thankful for the faculty who are investing their lives in you. I pray for you all the time, and I know you pray for each other and for your faculty and staff and administrators as well. We all stand in need of our friend, the Lord Jesus, that we sang about today, who is waiting for us to console ourselves and strengthen ourselves at His throne. Exodus 18. This message may seem, at first blush, to be primarily directed to the males in the student body, but it really isn't, because if you girls will listen carefully, you will find some qualifications here that should help you in deciding what kind of a guy you'd like to be married to. If he measures up to the things found in this passage of Scripture, he would probably make a really good husband for you. So don't tune this out, girls. It's for you too, but I have entitled this, God's Work Still Requires Male Leadership. God's Work Still Requires Male Leadership. The great lament I hear from pastors today around the country is that so few men in their congregations are qualified or willing to be lay leaders in the work of God. Without those lay leaders in the work of God will fail. It cannot flourish. Without it, no ministry will succeed without strong, godly lay leadership. In this passage that we're going to read about this morning, Moses needed some men to be co-laborers with him in the great task of shepherding these some 2.5 million, the estimates vary between 2 and 3 million people that came out of Egypt and lived for many years in the wilderness. He needed men from all walks of life with an array of skills, with submissive hearts and engaged lives, men willing and able to get out of their comfort zones and get involved in ministry for the sake of God. The estimates varied about how many men were actually needed by Moses. The highest estimate I've seen was 78,000 men out of some, let's say, 2.5 million people in the wilderness. A lot of people with lots of skills, but with 2 or 3 main things that we're going to look at in just a few minutes. Let me just give you the circumstance. Refresh your mind with it, beginning at verse 14 of Exodus 18. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Well, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing thou doest is not good. thou wouldst surely wear away both yourself and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone.
I don't know why it wasn't already apparent to Moses before his father-in-law opened his eyes that having to bear the burdens of 2.5 million people all by himself was a rather impossibly daunting task, but it didn't seem to have occurred to Moses. But Moses, their leader, was sufficiently humble to receive good advice, even from his father-in-law, which is sometimes an extra humbling thing to have to do for most men. But he got good advice, and he listened to it. Good leaders are humble men. Good leaders are willing to listen to advice. It is a terribly insufficient and unable pastor leader who refuses to listen to good men in his congregation, who doesn't want anybody giving him advice, thinks he knows it all. I would not want to sit under such a ministry. I believe a man like that has a real sin problem, an ego problem. But it took an outside observer to open the eyes of Moses that there was a better way of doing the work of God. We ought to be doing the work of God the best we can. There's always a better way. There's always improvements to be made. No ministry ever arrives. It's a growing, living organism, if you will. And thank the Lord for leaders of churches and ministry organizations that appreciate the input they get from their boards, from their deacons, and even from outsiders who care about the work of God and in a proper and respectful manner say, could I make a suggestion to you about something that could be better? Most everything around this school that you enjoy and appreciate and consider to be a good thing happened because somebody, probably somebody other than an administrator or a faculty member, maybe somebody from the outside, maybe one of your parents, or a board member or somebody walking around here one day said, hey, what about this or that? You think that might be better? Or have you considered this or that? And you know what? Probably we hadn't. And we did as a result of the good advice. And that's what happened here to Moses. Leaders need good, strong men around them, trusted men who will tell them the truth. And when they hear the truth, they need to humbly submit to the truth. That was the circumstance. Let's look at the correction. This is where we want to spend the most of our time. What did Moses do about this advice? How did it make things better? Well, he learned that the care of God's work requires teamwork. Now, there was the God-appointed leadership. That's Moses, called of God to this task. Ultimately responsible for it all. There always has to be a head. God's work can't be run by committees, can't be run by teams, but it does have to have teamwork. But along with the teamwork, there has to be a God-appointed leader. Moses was that man in this case. And what did he do? He finally woke up to the reality that a God-appointed leader pushes down decision-making through the ranks of the organization and gives others the opportunity to exercise their gifts, others in the ministry and in the organization, to exercise their gifts, rather than the leader thinking he has to do it all himself and make all the decisions. A man who does that is wrong because he's denying God-equipped, God-prepared people the opportunity to exercise in the Lord's behalf, their gifts. God has given to each of us in this room certain gifts. And the God-appointed leader needs to recognize that and allow those people, free them up, if you will, to exercise their gifts without feeling that he has to micromanage everything they do. God-appointed leadership majors on certain things. Number one, he majors on strategies and spiritual objectives. Look at verse 20. Moses' father-in-law said to Moses, "Thou shalt teach them," that is the people, "ordinances and laws, shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do." He said, "Moses, your job as the God-appointed leader is to major on strategies and spiritual objectives." He said, "Moses, it's right that you be the spiritual leader." Look what Moses said of himself to his father-in-law in verse 15. He said, "This people come to me to inquire of God." He said, "They expect me to be their spiritual leader." And indeed he was. It is expected of the pastor to be that way, or the God-appointed leader of a ministry organization. He's to be the spiritual problem solver with God's point of view as his answer. Look at verse 16, the last part of the verse. Moses said, "I do make them," the people, "to know the statutes of God and his laws." I try to tell them what God says. I try to help them spiritually from the law of God, the word of God. I deal with their lives before God. That's the God-appointed leader. That's his responsibility. He's also responsible to major on prayer. Look at verse 19. His father-in-law said, "Hearken to what I tell you, and God will be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." He said, "They bring their problems to you. You tell them what the Bible says, what God says, and then you take their needs to God." And how many times as you read Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy do you find Moses interceding for the people of God? The most notable and probably the most memorable first time that happened was at Sinai, when he came down with the tables of the law and found them in their drunken sexual orgy, living like the pagans of Egypt from which they had been extracted. And his anger grew, and God revealed to Moses that God was angry and that he was going to wipe these people off the face of the earth. He'd raised them up to be examples of God Jehovah to the people of the earth. And they were being just like the pagans instead of the people of God. And Moses interceded. He said, "God, if you wipe them off the face of the earth, all these pagans will say Jehovah is insufficient to take care of his people. Jehovah is not a good God. Lord, it will reflect on you if you wipe them off. Give them another chance," pleading, as Abraham pleaded for Sodom, an intercessor standing between sinning man and the wrath of God. Major on prayer, Moses, as their God-appointed leader, and major on leadership development. Verse 21, "Provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be the rulers over the various divisions of the people." He said, "Now, that's your task, Moses. That's what you have to major on. You have to major on strategies and spiritual objectives. You have to major on prayer, and you have to major on leadership development within the ministry here." That's the God-appointed leader. But now I want to focus primarily on you, the leadership-appointed leader. Moses was appointed by God. The rest of the leadership was appointed by Moses, the leadership-appointed leadership. Every church needs it. Every ministry must have it. Leadership-appointed people who would decide, that is, judge between the people on the human level, who would speak in behalf of the ministry's interest and God's interest so that people could get along together and develop and grow, and so that the ministry could carry out its work without people just squabbling and tearing each other up and tearing the ministry up. He said, "Moses, you need some people like this." These were men who didn't seek leadership. They didn't seek their positions, but they were judged by Moses to be qualified for their positions. Evidently, from having been able to observe their lives or talk to others who had observed their lives, it was their personal qualifications, not their professional qualifications, that brought them to Moses' attention. Folks, it's good that you're getting your degrees. It's good that you're developing personal skills, communication skills, academic skills, interrelational skills, and all of that. But ultimately, when your God-appointed leader in your church someday where you sit is looking for some male lay leadership, it's not going to be those things primarily that will attract him to you and ask him, cause him to ask for your help. It will be your personal qualifications, your character qualifications, your Godward life, the way you take care of your family, your faithfulness to God, as you walk with Him daily. These will be the things He's looking for, as those were the things Moses was looking for when he was trying to appoint some lay appointed leadership. Don't desire leadership. I don't trust people who desire leadership. These men were not looking for leadership. People looking for leadership probably are people with big egos looking for attention, looking to fulfill some personal ambition, probably with unsavory motives. Watch out for those people. But thank God for people who are observed to have the kind of lives that would make them qualified for spiritual leadership, and who are willing, when asked to do so, step up to the plate. Knowing that when they do, they're going to be criticized. Knowing that they're going to take their lumps along the way, as all leadership does. Somebody said, leadership assumes criticism. The leader must be mature enough and wise enough to listen to the right criticism and throw the rest away as the wheat and the chaff separate from each other. Moses had more than his share of it from the people. They complained just about everything he did, from the quality of the food they had to the lack of water to his decision making. The criticism even came from his own family. God appointed leadership faces it, and lay appointed leadership faces it. Abraham Lincoln said, if I were to read, much less answer all the attacks made on me, this shop might as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I know, the very best I can. I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, an angel swearing I was right would make no difference. Somebody said a man who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. And that's true of leadership. And that's why there are some people here in this room. There's some men in this room who don't have the courage when asked, because people think you are qualified for leadership, to step up and say, I'll do it. You're too fragile. You're too fearful. You're too self-focused to be willing to take the lumps that leaders have to take. But thank God for men who are really men and who act like men and who love God and realize that if I succeed in whatever leadership I'm called upon, it won't be because of me anyhow. It's because of God and His divine enablement, and I'm willing to trust God to make me able for the task. What kind of men was Moses looking for? Men who continued probably to live their lives as artisans, as makers of clothes, as keepers of flocks, of craftsmen, of teachers, or of medical profession, or whatever they were already doing. But he said on top of that, would you help me as a leader because you have a heart for God? I need your help. A.T. Robertson, the Greek scholar at Princeton, in his book, The Glory of Ministry, wrote, it is not a preacher's wisdom, but his conviction that imparts itself to others. A real flame kindles another flame. Men with convictions will speak and will be heard. No amount of reading or intellectual brilliance will take the place of thorough conviction and sincerity. Someone said a good leader is a man who is deeply attached to an idea or a set of ideas and is able to communicate those to others. Someone said the size of a leader is determined by the depth of his conviction, the height of his ambition, the breadth of his vision, and the reach of his love. Moses was looking for men, according to verse 21, of men who had unquestioned good character, godly lives, truthfulness, men whose example would be instructive to others as well as their words. Look at it again, verse 21. Thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and then place those over others. Now I want to ask you boys in this room something. If you had been with Moses among that 2.5 million, would you have been one of the men that Moses was looking for? A man of wisdom, a man of prudence and discretion, a man whose integrity, a man whose honesty was never questioned, a man that was not covetous, wouldn't take bribes, wasn't a lover of money. Money wouldn't cloud his vision and his decisions. A man who feared God, a man who had some courage, a man who had already deported himself in a way that those who observed him said, there's a guy who loves God. There's a guy who can be counted on to do right. He has a history of it, and he probably will continue to be that way. That's the kind of leadership Moses was looking for. That's the kind of leadership every pastor is looking for in men of the church, and every Christian organization is looking for. Men who already stood out because of their moral discipline, their courage, their truthfulness, their right priorities, their seeking of God. Now, would you have been such a man when Moses had looked at you and said, you've got what I'm looking for, you've got what I'm looking for, you've got what I'm looking for? Had nothing to do with their professionalism. Had nothing to do with the degrees behind their name. Had everything to do with what they were before God and their integrity of the life they lived before men. By the way, I doubt that any of those men that Moses chose had been sitting around in their tents playing video games all day long, or reading comic books, or watching TV, or surfing the internet hour after hour. I doubt if he was looking for men like that. They were probably already volunteering to carry out the trash and to deal with the sewage issues of 2.5 million people wandering through the desert. They were probably already men volunteering for the death detail, the burial detail. Hey, by the way, think about it just a minute. If there were 2.5 million people for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, all of whom, God said, would have to die in the wilderness, all the generation that came out of Egypt would have to die. Think of how many burials there were every day. I figured it up. Probably something like 170 graves had to be dug every day in burial services. About 170 every day for 40 years. Somebody had to do that. These men had probably already been doing things like that of their own just because it needed to be done. They were supporting Moses against the gripers in the camp, of which there were many. They were standing up for the leadership that was trying to do right before God. Not perfect leadership. Trying to do right. Men of noble character. Men who are already engaged in things that mattered. Not worthless, lazy, indolent, entertainment mad guys. But men who wanted their brief life in this world to count for the sake of God and for the sake of others. These are the kind of people that pastors all over this country and little churches and all over the world and little churches are looking for. People who have finished their training at Bob Jones University and have grown in the grace and growth of God and the knowledge of God and have something personally to offer as a Christian to a little struggling fledgling church who needs some exemplary Christian lay leadership to help the pastor get the job done. a man like that is looking for people like that, I want to know, guys, how many of you are having the kind of lives today that would make them look at you as Moses looked at certain men and said, you have what it takes. You have the kind of life that can handle Christian leadership and can be a blessing to others. Guys, that's what you better be setting your life on. That's what your training here is all about, equipping you to do. It's your character. It's your life it's equipping you to do. It's way beyond your major. Are you willing to have it done? Are you willing to commit yourself to being a man of God who is qualified by his life to be a lay leader for God in a good ministry somewhere all the days of your life? Now, if that's not your objective, you have some problems. Problems that can be addressed if you're willing to address them, and I hope you will. If it is your objective, then keep on keeping on.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University Chancellor, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.